You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. Today, I'm here with staff from The Haven of the Native Ways Program, here to talk about all the resources they provide, the work that they do, and how important it is to local Native Indigenous folks here in the Tucson area.
Hello, my name is Natividad Cano. I'm the Native Ways Cultural Educator. I've been at The Haven for close to 17 years with the Native Ways Program. I am originally from Sonora, Mexico. I'm a Mexican indigenous woman, and my descendants are Tohono O'odham. My father came from a community, O'odham community in Caborca, Sonora. I also have Yaqui ancestry and Opata from my mother's side. So I grew up in Sasabe, Sonora. That's where I was born, and I went to school there until I was 13 years old. Then that's when we immigrated legally to the United States. And I've been in Tucson since 1966, I believe, when I came and resided here.
Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Tracy Alexic, and I'm the Native and Indigenous Service Manager for The Haven. I've been with The Haven for only 2 months. I'm new working there, and I came from working at the Pascua Yaqui tribe. I was there for over a year as their yoga therapist and relaxation specialist. I was hired to work in the diabetes prevention program and to also help to break generational cycles of trauma. So that was a good fit in transitioning over to The Haven. And my ancestry is Celtic, German, and Cheyenne Indian. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, but I've been living all over the world. I've lived in Thailand and Costa Rica and Montreal, Quebec. And I started with studying anthropology, so I was really interested in immersion of different cultures. And cultural healing is very important for the individual. And I think it's even important. I have a lot of friends who are adopted and they don't actually know their roots. And so being able to connect with where you're born and getting familiar with the culture around you is, I think, really very important. So it's a pleasure to be new to Tucson and also being able to really put some roots down here and to immerse in this culture.
Amazing. Wow. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to come to KXEI and share a little bit of your background, your story. So can you share a little bit of background about what The Haven is and the Native Ways Program?
So I'll talk about The Haven first before I do about the Native Ways Program. The Haven came into existence in 1970. It was a group of women who were in recovery and who had a vision that women needed a special place to do their work, to do their healing. These women were passionate about their own recovery, and they knew that, you know, women needed a place of their own. So the board of directors was created, and then The Haven came into existence. We're close to 55 years of providing services in the community. We are located in a residential area. We have been there since 1976, I believe, or 77. So going like 46 years in the same location.
Wow.
Yes. We provide gender-specific treatment for women and those that also identify as women, as female. Mm-hmm. And one of the unique things about The Haven is that children up to a certain age are allowed to come with their moms and be together, not mm-hmm. be separated.
That's so good.
We provide substance use disorder treatment and also mental health treatment as well. And a very successful program, very intense program. We provide all kinds of support for the women and just an amazing program.
I honestly feel that Nati summed it up so beautifully.
Great.
But, I'll just say we have our residential program. We also have our intensive outpatient program where people come and they get focalized treatment and education. Okay. And then they go back to either living offsite in a home that we provide, living with other members, or they live in their own accommodation. So, we have different levels of help and support for for women.
Okay, great. And so the Native Ways Program, can you share more about that?
Yes, the Native Ways Program, one of the therapists back in around 2005-2006, Victoria Steele, she was she is a social worker, and she noticed that Native women, Indigenous women would come for treatment, but they would not stay because they didn't find anything that they could relate to, anything that they could identify with. And so she asked them, you know, she saw them outside the door with their little, with their suitcase ready to go back home. She asked them, what do you need in place for you to stay here and be successful and complete the program? So they said, well, we want to live with other Native women. We want to cook our own foods. We want to practice our, you know, our beliefs. We want to see people, you know, that I can identify with. What about, you know, having a Native therapist, a Native recovery coach, a Native case manager? And so with the help of the then director of the Haven and the board, they were able to, she got, you know, the support to create the Native Ways Program. And we held our first open house in 2006.
Oh, okay.
I came on board in 2007, and you know, I fell in love with the program, and I, you know, I've been there ever since, and I'm staying.
That's so great.
We provide, you know, the cultural piece that it's missing from a lot of programs. We have a very intense program, the clinical portion program, but then when we combine the traditions, we combine the culture, we combine the different aspects of Native community, it enhances the program. And it's open to all women, you know, not just women from Tucson, but we get women from other parts of the state, from out of state, New Mexico women, women from Nevada, women from Minnesota come to our program.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. So what resources does the program offer, and is it only exclusive to Native people?
It's open to anyone. It's a very inclusive program, and, you know, we offer different ways of healing through culture. We have a talking circle, we have a smudging, we have tradition ceremonies, full moon ceremonies, equinox, solstice.
Oh, wow.
We have members from the community, also external providers like Tony Redhouse, who is a sound healer. He is a award-winning artist, drummer, and flutist, and hoop dancer,
yeah,
motivational speaker, just an amazing guy. That he's been coming to the Haven for as long as I've been there, more than 17
wow.
years. We also have Miguel Flores, who is a traditional healer. He is a medicine man, and he also provides services for us. We have a drumming group. The Haven Strong Women Drum Group, and we drum in the community. We participate in in the community events, and we drum and sing the songs, and you know, create you know, healing for ourselves and for others.
Wow, that's awesome! And I feel like that is definitely a part of the success of the help and the healing and the recovery for individuals, I'm sure.
Right, yes.
Making that cultural connection and being engaged.
Right. You know, we really focus on trauma-informed care because a lot of the women, 90% of the women come with a lot of trauma. They come from homes that, you know, where there's domestic violence, or they've been homeless, and they've experienced, due to their substance use disorders, they experience violence in their lives. So the environment that we create for them is a very inclusive environment, very healing, very respectful. Our motto is recovery with respect, and we honor all the women that come through our program, and their children, their families, and we focus on, you know, the entire person, because physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and spirituality is such a big, a huge, even the women who are not Indigenous or Native, they thirst for spirituality, and they want to be, can I be in the Native program? Can I be in the Native program?
That's awesome.
Yes, yes.
So amazing.
So something I'd love to add is that so the way that we're building the Native Ways program, you know, the tribal communities, they have a lot of events going on. And so we're also taking members to those events so that they can connect with the communities there. So they're doing recovery walks, and starting next month, they're going to be able to go to sweat lodge ceremonies. And, you know, there's just so many different speakers that we're starting to bring in. In the past, we've had the Distinguished Speaker Series, but we're starting to resuscitate that program so that we can bring educators and activists and artists in that can really talk and inspire the community members and also the staff to teach cultural humility. It's really important that this goes across the board so that we're able to continue to build the program with sacredness and with sensitivity.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'd like to share a little bit more on that too as well. This is something I wrote some time ago, and it has to do with, you know, connecting with community and celebrating. And cultural and sober celebrations bring people together. They foster community development. They expand and offer insight and offer an opportunity for connection, which is the opposite of addiction. Attending cultural local events is like taking a short journey into another society and a way of life. There is power and joy that comes with human connection. It is not only a desire, but a human need. There is respect and harmony and opportunity for intercultural exchange and understanding. For children, there is an understanding of their heritage to build a solid foundation, shaping their beliefs and values. Honoring heritage provides a chance to understand traditions specific to our ancestors. This partnership collaboration began around 2008 and continues actively throughout the years. So, you know, women need to be seen. You know, they're not to be, you know, just excluded. They need to be seen, and they need to see others. They need to participate in you know, in events. You know, we have women who had never been to a stadium. And for the first time, we also participate in the Arizona Bowl every year. So the women get to carry flags. From the 22 tribes in Arizona, they get to carry the flag and parade across the stadium for the football game. They get to be go to theaters. They'd never been to a theater before. And not only those things, they're, you know, available to everyone, but also powwows or gatherings and celebrations and sober, healthy activities. So that they can be seen, and they can see themselves being important and loved.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad to hear that something like that exists for women and Indigenous women right here locally, and that they have the opportunity to be a part of something super special. And regardless of the age, wherever they're starting from, that they're getting what they need on all those levels of spirituality and connectedness to culture and heritage. And then, you know, getting to see what's out there outside of the cultural aspect of things. Yes. So that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you know, one of the things that amazes me or inspires me or motivates me is the passion that all the staff has for recovery. We believe in recovery, and we believe that treatment works and that good treatment really does exist. And that speaks volumes, because we do, you know, our treatment is trauma-informed care, where we respect the whole person and encourage the whole person and the children. We have a program called Celebrating Families, where extended family can come and learn about recovery. Children have their own specific age-specific groups as well, teens, and then the adults, the parents. They learn what they don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. And that addiction is a disease, that it's not a weakness or a moral issue or a it truly is, and the recovery is possible. And recovery is beautiful. It's beautiful. It opens so many doors to individuals. You know, I've known people who have been very successful in their educational goals, that have achieved college degrees, and they now are professionals in the field, and mothers reuniting with their children and being resourceful, being healthy in the community, because recovery goes beyond the individual. You know, we heal seven generations forward, seven generations backwards.
Yes.
And so we all need each other.
And, you know, something I'd love to add to that is, you know, we have individuals that come in with adverse childhood experiences. And something that I learned working for the Pascua-Yaqui tribe is that Native and Indigenous people don't grieve alone. They grieve in community. And that is a huge part of culture. And so when we have so many things in place to help women coming into this program that are suffering and they're grieving, we have things in place to offer support and to be able to talk in safe places, to learn compassion for yourself and forgiveness and to set healthy boundaries. You know, we have a program through the Southwest Institute of Research on Women that is teaching about sexual education and healthy relationships. And so we're starting with some of these beautiful women creating a new foundation of what healing could look like and feel like in the body. And then when you bring in those cultural layers and community, there's an opportunity for this to be a long-lasting recovery and a reconnection and a reclaiming of self, like a sense of authenticity and a new sense of identity. It's empowering the work that we're doing, and the beauty is that we all believe in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's why we want to continue this work and to build upon it in a really conscious way.
Wow, the commitment and the dedication of the staff, I feel like, is, I'm sure, of course, is a big part of the success and the patience that it takes as well to work with folks who come from trauma-based homes. And yeah, you're right. It takes years far beyond their recovery. And it's good to hear that you're also including families and you're also including children and youth and talking about these topics. Because as a young person, as a child, a Native child growing up on the reservation, you know, we didn't have those kind of conversations. We didn't have those kind of talks. And I didn't learn how to deal with my trauma until I got into college and I started to learn about historical trauma. Mm-hmm. And I started to recognize that some of my behaviors and some of the things all stem from my childhood, because I did grow up in an alcoholic, domestic violence-based household. Thankfully, I had enough in me to get through and eventually get into college, but I didn't start dealing with it until I was like in my mid-20s. And it has taken some time, and but it also helped with reestablishing a relationship with my mother. You know, it was broken for many years, and I had a lot of resentment toward her just because of her absence. But because she eventually recovered and got sober, and I was where I was at in my journey of healing, we both made an effort to come together and repair the relationship. Unfortunately, she's passed on. It's been a little over a year now, but I'm thankful that because of that healing and recovery for the both of us to come together, we were able to have a solid, healthy, and very loving relationship up until, you know, the end of her time. So if you can share a little bit more of what that is like when you introduce the concept of healing and trauma with these younger people.
You know, sometimes people don't know that they carry grief. And we have to teach them what it looks like, what it feels like. You know, they don't have a language for feelings or emotions because nobody modeled that for them. So I start with very basic. Okay, this is called sadness. This feeling is loneliness. This is pain. This is hurt. This is shame, because sometimes women come with layers of shame. You know, I left my children. You know, I abandoned my children. I disrespected my grandmother. And respect is such a huge, you know, value in families. And so we start peeling off the layers, you know. I believe that I help women find their essence, who they really are. I tell them, you know, you're not damaged. You are pure. Your spirit is pure. I'm dirty. I drop dirty. And we have to change the language because language is so powerful. And I said, well, no, you're not dirty. Yeah. Your spirit is clean. Your spirit never, you know, you were created, you know, and you still have the purity about you. Let's start building from there. And, you know, I believe firmly in affirmations, positive affirmations. And, you know, I every day. And I can see the effect, you know, when she begins to walk tall and look me in the eye and smile and be proud of herself. I say it worked.
So my background is in yoga therapy. And specifically in mental health with a specialization in grief. Mm-hmm. And so exactly as Nati just mentioned, so many people are numb and they don't know where they feel their emotions. They don't know where they're holding their emotions. And we hold our issues in the tissues. Wow. So when we start to deepen our breath, when we learn how to breathe, when we learn how to co-regulate the nervous system, when we learn how to move with breath, and we start to feel things shift energetically and emotionally, then we start to have more presence, more mindfulness, even more respect, you know, with the other members that we're in program with or other staff members. And like Nati says, you see people who were averting eye contact that are now looking you in the eyes, and there's a brightness, there's sparkles, they're awake. Mm-hmm. You know, you see people, I think that's the beautiful thing mm-hmm. of recovery, is you see people waking up.
Mm-hmm. There's a softness, you know, facial softness that happens that I notice, and you know, I see the smile, the softness, the look in the eye, and the relax. Mm-hmm. Being relaxed yeah. and being safe, because safety is such an important thing. Mm-hmm. And I really want to thank you for your sharing right now. I honor your story. And
thank you.
It's very powerful. Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's amazing the metamorphosis that happens. You know, the butterfly is our symbol. Mm-hmm. And the women do become, they grow their wings, and they, and I always say, you know, there's another person in recovery, and you know, our community is safer. You know, I can drive, yeah. and I'm not afraid that, you know, there's an impaired driver mm-hmm. or something happening, a shooting or, you know, some violence.
Mm-hmm.
Our communities become safer, and because a woman who does recover, you know, her children are safe. Her relationships are healthy, and the community benefits.
You know, the symbolism of that metamorphosis, right? So you have the caterpillar that's low to the ground mm. and is just kind of slithering and consuming and unaware. And then you create that chrysalis, or the haven creates that chrysalis, mm-hmm. that safe container mm-hmm. where you can be vulnerable and you can be exposed and surrender to the experience. And then from that, you grow your wings, and then you can go out into community and back into society, and you can show your beauty, and you can spread your wings, and you can go far and wide and do great work and share what you've learned with your family and your friends. And, you know, it's all part of the hero's journey,
yes.
isn't it? And it's
yes.
righteous. And I relate to your story because my mom as well was an alcoholic, and I grew up in that household as well. And, you know, I think that also if people don't have that opportunity for closure with their mother before they pass away, you know, we can still encourage our members to write a letter and to work on that forgiveness work and
yeah.
to have closure within themselves so they can move into that next phase of healing. Like it's never done. It's never too late. It's ongoing. And
yes.
we're all spiritual beings having this human experience.
Absolutely. Wow. This is a powerful conversation. Thank you so much. I'm super thankful and blessed to even hear the information and what you all offer to the community. It's pretty powerful. moving forward, and thank you both for sharing the extent of that information. And if folks wanted to learn more, how does the program promote community involvement?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, we do enjoy good relationships with community agencies, you know, with the different funders of our treatment. We have great relationships with Tucson Indian Center. We have great relationships with the Pascua-Yaqui Tribe and behavioral health from the nation and other community agencies.
We receive a lot of donations, and we network a lot with other agencies, as Nati mentioned, mm-hmm. and we're going to continue building outreach as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we table at so many events, and we're constantly meeting people, and we have the most amazing person in charge of communications. Mm-hmm. She's everywhere and anywhere at every given
yes.
moment.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she is constantly introducing people to what we do so that we receive those donations. Mm-hmm. So,
wow. And who's that individual?
Her name is Amelia.
Okay.
Monetary donations, of course. You know, we also accept donations, clothing donations for our women, and anything that we can utilize. Yes, we have people that volunteer and they come and paint. They come and
good.
Clean our property, and they beautify everything,
yes.
and we learn, and they learn from us. Mm-hmm. And the support, the emotional support that we receive from the community is huge.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are talking, and people are sending members even across state lines to come and receive treatment mm-hmm. from the Haven.
Yeah.
Because there isn't really anything else quite like it mm-hmm. and what we have to offer, because it's such a sacred place. Thankfully, we have local organizations that are donating money, and we receive grants. It all gets poured back into the members and what we can offer. Whether it's STI testing or it's just additional support, we appreciate it.
Yes, awesome. So as we're getting closer to the time limit here, if there are any, what are some of the challenges or barriers that exist?
Well, I think that we need more places like the Haven.
Yeah.
For women and mm-hmm. children, yes.
Yeah.
The women need safe housing.
Yeah.
Housing is a big, big problem, a big need for women, safe housing, affordable housing. You know, we need training, employment. We need daycare services. We need transportation services, that all those things that, you know, allow the women, help the women become successful in the community.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to help us build at the Haven, to
uh-huh.
be able to expand.
Oh, okay.
And to offer to more and more members, of
mm-hmm.
course.
Yeah.
Because we do have a lot that we are currently offering. We have vehicles, we have staff that transports, but of course we could always use more support
yes.
in that sense as we continue to grow. Where there was possibly a challenge before I started working for the Haven, you know, thankfully, Nati and I have a collaborative spirit, you know, so as she finds really interesting things in the community, I've created a calendar of events where we can plug all that in as a resource so that we can all see what's going on and continue to add to it and offer more and more and
yes.
more. So we're slowly bridging the gap between residential, intensive outpatient, and the alumni members. And the alumni members are people who have been successful in their sobriety for years, but they still want to be affiliated like a big sister so that they can share what's working for them and to inspire the members that are a little bit green on this path.
Yes, some of the women come and tell their stories. You know, this is what it was like for me. This is what happened. This is where I am now.
Yeah.
I just had somebody text me. I got hired by TUSD.
Wow.
And that's a big success,
yes.
you know, when people call and say, I'm 8 years sober now. I'm celebrating my birthday. Come to the meeting. We're going to have cake.
Cool.
And, you know.
Yes, we celebrate that. It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, I got my last question here for the both of you.
Uh-huh.
What do you most enjoy about your role in the program?
Wow. The transformation, you know, that process of, you know, scared to holding their head high. And we have completion ceremonies where I give the women healing stones, and they look forward to getting those healing stones because, oh, this is something that, you know, I completed my program here. If it was 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, I completed something, and for the first time, I've completed something in my life. And it brings a lot of pride and joy. And then the passion for my from my coworkers, everyone is so passionate about what we do. So I'm blessed to have this position with the Native Voice Program.
To answer that, it's a two-part question for me. One is personal. One is, you know, being in a place where, you know, I had childhood experiences that were adverse and traumatic. And so that knowing that healing is possible and being in an environment that really inspires members to walk that walk and to put talk into action, to have integrity, to take responsibility and accountability, the environment is very empowering. And I love being able to see members and support them and be part of that healing container. And then professionally, I feel as though it's an environment that really allows for me to be myself and to do good quality work. And there's a lot of potential for growth. I feel appreciated and valued and seen and heard and loved. And as a professional, that's very unusual. I mean, I think so, at least in my professional experience. Yes. So I think that there's so many reasons I love my role, and I can see myself being there for a very long time.
Wow. You know, one of the things I just said, I thought the women have healed me.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yes. Yes.
Well, once again, thank you both so much. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the work that you both are doing. And a shout out to all your staff and the women there who are receiving recoveries. Thank you both so much. And being on Cultivating Indigenous Voices.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, featuring staff from the Haven's Native Way Programming, Natividad Cano, the Native Way's Cultural Educator, and Tracy Alexic, Native and Indigenous Service Manager. Hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. To hear the full conversation, go to KXEI.org.